Alrighty, shalom everyone. Welcome to the meeting for this month. To start the meeting, shalom.
I don't have your screen.
I stopped it. I just need, the recording has a quirky thing where it needs to be playing when I start.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
So yeah, let's all close our eyes for a moment and center ourselves.
Muted.
And Salam, that was perfect, Maitreya. You muted everybody just as we had the...
Let's keep it silent.
Yeah, make us be silent.
Just in case. It's funny. Alrighty, so Salam, how's everyone doing?
Great.
Yeah. Thanks, God.
Maybe we should change it. Say, is anyone not doing well?
That's a twist.
Any topics?
Much better now.
Oh, good. Now then, rather than when, before the meeting.
Right.
Certainly different than the world, this little bubble we have.
Yeah, I'll attest to that.
Yeah,
amen.
Thanks, God. Yeah, the meditation really helps. Mm. Thanks, God, Tahira. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it
was. Tahira is good, isn't she? I should have called her meditation.
Sadhana.
Yeah, sadhana. You should do that sometime, Maitreya, if we ever get a couple in the mission. Call one of them asana, call the other one sadhana. Call one of them yama, call the other one niyama.
Niyama.
This one should be sadhana and this one should be asana.
Call one vidaya and one avidaya.
No, that's not good.
I don't think the avidaya is going to like that.
That wouldn't work. No.
Tandava and tandavi, that one's easier.
Yeah, that's easy.
One Abram and one Brahm.
Brahm. Those names are given. Abram and Sarah. Taken.
So is there anything anyone wants to talk about specifically? Now is the time to bring up your topics.
Too late. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, we can always talk about the news brief problem.
Yeah. Before we go to the news brief, if nobody has any topics, the feast is Tuesday. The feast starts Tuesday, and the Feast of Atonement starts tomorrow evening. So I wanted to go ahead and ask if there were any questions about either of those celebrations or anything anyone would like to know about any of them. For the feast, we will be sending out an email just before it starts, filling in the last details about the schedule. And we'll talk about it in the welcome, too. But if there's any questions about any of those, go ahead. Hey, good news. That's a good sign. I guess everyone understands. Alrighty.
I have a question.
Looking forward to it, I guess.
Oh, yes, Maitreya. You better answer it yourself.
You have 7 holidays. What is that?
What was that?
We have 7 holidays, and 3 of them is this month. The trumpet, the atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. Why is that? What is the Feast of Trumpet? Attunement, and then Feast of Tabernacles. What's Feast of Trumpet means?
It announces the coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like this month is very special, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Three of them in one month. Trumpet, it sounds loud and calls everyone to wake up. For what?
The coming of the Lord.
Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm, the coming of the Lord. God is coming. And then attunement. Why attunement? You already woke up, ready to come.
Be prepared.
What? Go ahead.
I think Tahira said to prepare.
Mm-hmm. To attune yourself to God and become more godly and start purifying yourself. So just like the parable in the coming of the wedding, that you have to prepare yourself with your good clothing on and be prepared for the wedding. And some people came with the not very prepared clothing. And God said, I'm going to wait a little longer. Now is the time, people, being prepared for coming of the Lord. So atonement and then the feast. That shows how important the Feast of Tabernacle is. Three of them in 1 month, awakening, preparation, and feast. I guess I answered my question, didn't I?
You know, Maitreya, just as you were talking about it, I was wondering, is there any relationship between the progression of the feasts and the progression of the seven seals?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's a 7 days of preparation for the last day, the 8 days. So again, you can say each day is related to one seal. Each year is related to one seal, and also each day is related to one seal. First seal is you just come here to the mission and you start getting out of, you know, external world, and the first day is still you are half in the world. You start meditating, you awaken your spiritual forces, and the second day is the communities become more involved with the community. You realize you have sacrificed for it, and then surrender to submit to the will of God for you and shatter all the narrowness of the mind. And we can see what this narrowness of the mind is doing to earth at this time. And anyway, and third universalism and all that. What is that sound?
Mommy, I mean Sarah.
Let me mute myself.
There's something you're scratching on the, or your microphone is making noise. Anyway.
Okay, I'll just mute myself. I was just closing my eyes, that's all.
That's okay. And then, of course, it's a relationship. There's definite relationship between every day in the feast and the seven seals, and no doubt about it.
Wow, I was just also thinking, like, the last, you know, the Baha'i Faith and Ananda Marga and the mission came one right after the other. So, like, the last three feasts come right after the other.
That's very good.
But it doesn't really work for the others. So, I don't know.
Well, you have to see what is the distance between each revelation to see if there is a relationship historically also to the feast that God. Maybe, but we have to think about that. It might be because after Christ, Islam only took 600 years.
Right, but the first three feasts are in the first week, aren't they? It goes like beginning of the Passover, and then end of the Passover. Isn't that the first three?
No.
No?
Well, that we have the second feast is the... Is it the second feast is the yearly Sabbath? The 50 days after the...
I thought that was the fourth. And that's like the only other one, actually.
And the fifth one is what?
Feast of Trumpets.
and 6 and 7. So three of them are also in the very beginning. Okay, yeah. So there's no relationship.
Anything else about this subject? No?
It sounds like the first three is grouped together, and then the fourth one, and then the last three is grouped together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three of them, one and three.
Kind of, yeah. Like the lower nature, higher nature kind of.
Ah, and a cross. Yeah, that's interesting. Fourth crossover.
So you go through the one, two, and third pretty fast. You're staying fourth for a long time. And the fifth, sixth, and seventh go that fast.
Yeah, it takes time to go from the fourth chakra to the fifth.
That is true. That is really true. The fourth, a lot of people get stuck to the fourth chakra. The people who say, God is love, that's where they are. They just got stuck. God is also everything you put in front of God is.
So maybe there's a relationship, huh?
Maybe. You have to meditate on those things, see how they can. Yeah.
Anything else?
But it is a great a system. If someone were to just look at it even objectively, they will see probably how amazing it is, because it is not just for one day or one month like how it is now, and how people are at least trying to do holidays.
You mean it's spread out all through the year?
It's spread out and you. Like how it says in Do, you could, in the first beat, you study the first seal and then the second one and so on, and start with meditation, and it's like a system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think there is any other religion as powerful and complete and perfect as what we have brought to humanity, and God let it through to them. I think it's fantastic. You know, of course, I could be biased, but
no, they're not even close.
Everyone is biased.
Well, that's why we really don't have to do anything. We don't have to be radical. We don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be, unhappy. It's good revelation, and God is with us, and He's preparing humanity for it. It's amazing how many people are being prepared all through the earth, and more they're open, and they see something is not going right. Something is really good going out of the, out of hand. So it's just. People are being prepared. There's no doubt about it. They have to overcome their lower nature and all that. We need the new man fast, and God is creating them. Now we have to learn how to catch them when they are ready. Mm-hmm. And bring them to God. Go ahead.
I think we were all just saying.
I see. Okay, well, let's do. Did you have other topics? Go ahead.
Well, just it kind of actually fits right into what you were just saying, which is, what does everyone think about the reopening of New Jerusalem?
Yeah,
I would like to see it tomorrow. That's not soon enough.
I think I'm with you.
No, I'm with you.
Has anyone else been had any experience or looking into some of the things Maitreya was talking about in terms of like renewable energy or going off the grid or anything like that? We've suddenly got a lot of emails based on that news brief from some of our correspondents about this subject, and it's an amazing amount of different things that humans are trying to try to get energy. And
yeah, we have a friend called Oregano. He used to come to the satsangs, and once in a while he sends me emails, and he's an interesting person. And suddenly after this news brief, suddenly he keeps sending me emails about getting out of the grid and how many, you know, new innovation are there, and that's amazing how much he knew about the subject, and it's amazing how advanced they have become to use the renewable energies. And some of those that they have created, they can actually have 90% efficiency of the sun's energy. Those panels they put at the top of the houses, they are around only 17 to 19% efficiency. But they have found ways to really, you know, use one or two dishes for the whole house or if a small communities. And pretty soon, by the time people are ready to create the communities of life, I think we would be able to use a small, you know, dishes or whatever the technology has by then to prepare all the energy that we need. Really, what we need, electricity and water. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a huge land that to build in it. And if we can do that, we can completely become self-sufficient.
I like the term community sufficient.
Do you guys think individuals who buy guns and put things inside gonna make it if there is a tribulation come?
No.
Anybody there believe that?
No.
They've been like doing that for what, 12,000 years now? It's not working.
And all of them died, huh?
Pretty much.
Actually, we can take a lesson from American Indians. Mm-hmm. Their legend is they came out of the last tribulation together, and they went to the hidden city. Mm-hmm. Of course, they say it was underground. We know where it is now in this lifetime. Where is it?
New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem,
yeah. And even maybe by the time people are ready and do like communities of light, they are doing like small things, improvements with receiving sunlight and everything, but at the same time there are even more advancements like fusion, using the oceans, and also like collecting directly from the sunlight and in the space and then sending it to the earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, the correct way to do it is using many different techniques, not only one. Wind, sun. There is one technique that Oregano was talking about. You actually can create electricity by using Earth itself. Earth has the negative and positive pole, right? Mm-hmm. If you can somehow tap into that, you can create electricity. You can use the negative and positive poles and create an electricity. It sounds electricity or energy is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just we have to tap into it and realize, yeah, it is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to scratch each other's face with a little oil here and there and create bad karma, because you know we can create a self-sufficient community, so we don't have to, you know, create, you know, political systems that are based on, you know, whatever we have on Earth. Just like that article I wrote about, you know, nations create karma. The reason they do it, they think that's the only way, to get oil or something like that. But if we have energy all over the place, do we need to do that?
No.
Mm-hmm. Can anyone think of any other examples where nations have created karma, where it's very clear that it was based on the karma of a nation? Some reaction has happened? I've been trying. I haven't really thought of any, but I'm sure that there have been some.
In the Second World War, like the U.S. used the H-bombs, and it sounds like, it looks like the most scared nations on Earth from the H-bomb used against them is again, U.S.
Mm-hmm. How about other empires and people who created karma? It's not U.S. and England. They're pretty recent, so we have good memories of what they have done. How about Roman or Greeks? Or even Alexander the Great or Persians or even Turks. Empire, Ottoman Empire, you know?
Yeah.
Were they really nice to people, to other people?
Probably to some extent, all the empires bring some civilization and they're good, but somehow they, as you say, first they say God is the greatest, and then when they have the wealth and things, they say we are the greatest. And when they say that, they all fall apart. Same thing with the Ottomans. And like the Greeks, once they were the creed of the civilization, and now they're like very far away from that. Same with the Turks. Powerful nation, but struggling to just survive.
It seems that all the great empires have fallen.
Yeah, in this time, you're right, because the time for empires are gone. It's no longer it's time for them anymore.
And the creation of karma keeps happening, like this whole thing about the drones. That's assassination without trial, without, you know, it's horrible. It's the most horrible thing, having drones that just kill people. You know, just a thing comes from the sky and just assassinates people. Just because somebody, some kid in Texas decides to press the button.
Yeah, that creates karma, doesn't it?
Oh, my golly. Sure does.
What was that?
She said it sure does.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to beat up on the United States. I have nothing against the United States at all. You know, just about the whole concept. They are the most powerful nation on Earth right now. So therefore, anything they do, it can create karma, you know. And I'm sure they are not the only people that are creating karma. Even the people are not as powerful as they are. Probably a lot of nations are doing bad things to the other nations that are not as powerful as they are. So it's just, I have no love for any specific nation. I think they're all incorrect.
It sounds like perhaps a lot of that is happening in Africa, too.
Yep, it's just human have to learn not to misuse their power. It has to be used according to the will of God. And God didn't create this universe so some few, you know, dictator in Africa or in Middle East dominate the rest of the people and not let them to grow, go to God. They have to create an environment that everybody have physiological and safety need taken care of, and the rest should be used to meditate and know thyself and know to go to God. If anybody is not doing it, they create karma. Simple, huh?
Therefore, we have Maitreya and the mission of Maitreya.
Thanks God for that.
Thanks God.
Well, China and Tibet is a good example too, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yep. China doesn't know what they're getting into.
And they're having all those mudslides in China.
Yeah. At least United States started with the idea that all men are created equal. And then later on, of course, it changed, but it started with a good idea. And I don't think China started it with, even started with a good idea. As they started with money and business and labor and all that.
Is there karma created in India with the caste system?
I bet, yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, India is the only nation seems to not attack too many countries
dominate.
Kind of a passive people more than any other nation.
Escapist.
I'm sure that has something to do with it. And also, I think go ahead, Eunice.
Go ahead, please.
Just that, like, they seem to stay within their own sort of, like India fights with Kashmir, you know what I mean, or with Pakistan, but it doesn't really go beyond that. It's kind of similar in Africa, actually. Like, there's a lot of infighting in between all of the different states or the cultural groups, but I've never heard of like much conquering done by Africa or African nations outside of Africa.
Yeah. Well, they came from Africa anyway. India came from Africa.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. At least half of them, yeah.
Yeah, half of them, yeah. The sad part. Yeah.
I wonder if another example of collective karma could be, I don't know if this is as good of one, but like we always joke about how Japan will eat, like, they eat, like, more varieties of unkosher foods than like anyone else, kind of, and because of how they've fished throughout their waters, they've gotten rid of like so many other things that there's been an explosion of jellyfish, and jellyfish is the only thing that can grow in the waters that they've created because they've destroyed all the other animals and the oxygen is all gone. And so the only thing that can survive is jellyfish. So there are literally millions of jellyfish and nothing but jellyfish in certain parts of these waters. And so now they're actually starting a campaign in Japan to get people to start liking jellyfish.
Jellyfish. That's all we got.
Yeah, exactly. So like these students have figured out how to like add some artificial sweeteners and stuff to these jellyfish to make them taste like candies and stuff. And all of this, et cetera, et cetera.
Poor God, he's got his hands full.
Yeah. You could wonder about the New Orleans area, too, like Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is so ungodly, and there's so much that's happened in that area. It's been one disaster after another.
And it also that also relates to the unkosher food. The vast majority of fishing in the Gulf was shrimp, mostly. Shrimp
and crab.
Crab and stuff. Very little else was done there. Mm-hmm. So.
Those shrimp are created mostly for whales to eat.
The krill?
Yeah. Krill? Shrimp. Not krills, shrimp. That's what whales eat, don't they?
I think whales eat like something even smaller called krill. And the ones that we eat, the shrimp we eat are like, or not we, but humans eat are bigger. I don't know, that's the way I understood it.
Really? Okay. Anybody knows? No?
I don't know for sure.
No.
It could be krill. Krill is a type of shrimp, that's possible.
I think that you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they eat like krill and plankton. I think they call it plankton.
What do whales eat?
Google.
Celestine feeding.
Yeah, whales eat. Google. Many whales feed on fish. Others feed on tiny plankton like krill.
Oh.
How about this?
You look for this krill.
I'm taking krill oil as a supplement. I didn't know that was it.
Oh, that's
really?
Maybe you would. You were a whale in the previous lifetime sometime?
Well, here's an interesting turn of events. I looked up, do whales eat shrimp? And related answers, do shrimp eat whales?
Yes. What's the answer?
The answer is, it's a joke answer. Yes, they eat the magic voodoo fish and get really big and eat the whales. Yeah, well, anyway. Krill. Shrimp-like marine creatures.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
So we were both right.
That's a krill. Can you see it?
Yep.
No.
Wait, let me get my highlighter. That's a krill. That's a krill.
Very good, Nora.
Well, what's the difference between that and shrimp?
Yeah.
Probably this is like smaller.
Are they they're transparent.
Krill are shrimp. Here we go. No.
Krill via shrimp.
I just saw it. Where is it? Oh man.
Krill Wikipedia.
Google's new instant feature messed me up. Here we go.
What's the difference between krill and shrimp? Here. Oops. Too late. There we go.
Both are something.
Semlines.
Seem pretty similar.
Yeah. And the Google is not Google that it used to be, huh?
Back in my old days.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, we had to...
Google did answer you the question.
Yeah, that's going to... You know, like the old time... They always say the old timers would say, like, in my old days, we had to walk uphill to school both ways. When we grow up, we're going to be like, in my old days, we had to Google twice everything.
And that definition, that sounds like they're almost exactly the same. Close.
Mm-hmm. Pretty similar.
Yeah.
I always heard whales related to krill. So, I don't know. Anything else about nations creating karma?
I think the loudest example is the Jewish community.
What are they doing? Creating karma?
No, like in the past.
They seem to be used as an example. Yeah, over and over. That's true.
They're doing what?
the Jewish community seems to have been used as an example over and over again.
Yes, God is making very clear, you know, that law of karma is going against his laws and will. And the will of God is to use the universe to accelerate or to progress back to him, to Godhead. And anything against it, create karma. And human have to understand that. It's not nationalism, it's not, you know, a person be attached to a part of this world. It's, you have to be attached to God. And what he says. Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me, could somebody invite Kyosha?
I can't. You can't really like invite people individually to this. Does she have her email, the mom meeting email that we sent to everybody?
Right. That's how I came in. It was so easy. Just click on that and it takes you right here.
Yeah. Tell her to go to that email and click on it. Or, well, I'll try that first.
Give her the URL to the website. She can go there if she wants.
Say that there's there could be collective atonement, like.
Okay. We lost your voice, sorry, G. That's the URL. She can go into and click on the invitation there, Ma.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on the. It sounds. Go ahead, Tara.
It sounds like
right.
A simultaneous collective karma explosion in the world today.
They're burning them fast. That's why. Yeah, they're cleaning up. They're a new man. They have to understand. They have to understand that action is going to come back and get them. It just. You can't just do it and think if you can get away with it. You can't. Individually, you know, group, nations, the whole earth. We have a collective, you know, karma for the whole earth. They're not listening to God.
You know, the less karma is created, the less destruction will be needed. So it kind of goes together. It's interesting. Because when human beings hurt other human beings, that gives God the ability to burn some karma because those people are hurt. But then if people are not hurting each other, there will be less opportunities to burn karma and less karma will be created at the same time. So it works.
Does that make sense? You're talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth. People don't hurt each other, the kingdom will come. If everybody be nice to one another and not to hurt each other, nobody's creating karma. Wouldn't it be that the kingdom of heaven on earth?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody judges. If we looked at one another with no... seeing no background of anyone, and we looked at one another without any background, there'd be no way we could judge them, you know. So it seems to me that it's all because of judgments. Everybody's judging one another in the world.
Let he who cast the first stone, right?
I don't know, that sounds a little too new agey for me.
Okay.
God judges all the time. That's what You mean people judging, not God judging.
No, I'm talking about people judging, not God judging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, I'm talking about, you're looking at certain groups of people.
Absolutely.
People look at this group, that group, and they make judgments on one another because of their thoughts and actions. And
Do you know about the law of perception or law of... how people perceive each other?
No, I'm not sure what you mean by do I know the law.
Just like each person have a different color of glasses.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they see the world according to, you know, just like comparing Ahmadinejad with Obama or Bush, President Bush. Why aren't they getting along?
Because of their judgment, their perceptions of
exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can, go ahead.
Is that the same thing, judgment and perception?
Yeah, you have to have perceive in a specific ways to see other person different than what your perception is to judge them.
It's the same to an extent, right? But I mean, it's pretty much impossible not to have a perception, but you can choose not to judge, isn't it? Kind of?
Well, that's pretty high consciousness to have a perception, but realizing that you shouldn't judge. Mm. If you really have a perception, but you don't have an expanded mind, you don't have any choice but to judge.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the moment your views are so limited that the color of your glasses are a specific color, that's the only thing you see. Unless you reach the point you have a clear glass on your eye, then you see every other color outside from there, and also you see other people are colored, but you don't judge them because that's their perception. That's where compassion comes from, actually. When you expand yourself to the point that you see, you know, how wrong they are, and you create compassion because you want to help them to get out of that colored glasses and put a prescription glass, maybe.
Yo, their stigmatism.
Mm-hmm, look at this. Mm-hmm. So if you have a perception, if you a colored glass, it means you haven't expanded your mind in a place that your judgment is godly. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yes.
So that's what people judge, Tahira. Mm-hmm. That's why the people see through their own glasses and they judge you.
We need to give everybody EDP glasses? Is that it?
EDP.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, either prescription glass or EDP. But I like EDP better.
EDP is a prescription glass.
That's right, yeah, prescription strength, EDP.
But there is a place for judgment from the very high people in society. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, my writing is full of judgment.
But you are the most compassionate, so you're allowed.
Yeah, thanks, God. I hope they are from God, and I'm sure they are, yeah. Really, I'm not judging. God is judging humanity.
Mm-hmm. So that means that people have... I don't know, like, in the kingdom, if we want to have real judges, those real judges will have to be, like, avatars, kind of, right?
Yep, absolutely. That's a part of our teaching, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, it means that once the kingdom starts coming, like, high consciousnesses will be incarnated. Like, there is more than just one. There has to be more than just one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Many people, many, many high souls going to be on Earth, and we're going to have leaders, we're going to have paravipras, we're going to have judges. Being in a position, that's why when you go to the court, when the judge comes in, everybody stands up. Mm-hmm. That means he is a very high soul, not only educated, but he is unbiased and unjudgmental and purely wants to bring justice to you. If they're not doing it, they're not good judges. And that's another problem we see creeping up in our society. The judges are not really there. They're politically motivated. They're not pure.
Right.
That was the big sigh, sorry.
you know, it came to mind. I thought about the controversy in California, where the people of the state of California had voted not to allow same-sex marriage. It was a mandate by the people through a vote process, and this one judge overturned that, and he said there can be gay marriages, and it turned out that actually he was a gay man himself. So not coming from a pure place as a pure judge, he absolutely had an agenda. That was what the sigh was coming from.
You sure say a lot with a sigh. It was like four paragraphs.
I think that was seven paragraphs.
You know, that's interesting that Sarah G brought that up too, because I work in a place where, you know, there's people, you know, at least there's this lady and, you know, she has a partner and they're gay or whatever, and I have to deal with this one lady, and, you know, we don't really talk about that at all. That's like out the window. And so as long as somebody's not pushing it, you don't have to. I mean, I'm not sure, like, you know, if I should say my opinion because of the mission, but yet I also want to get along with her. It's really weird, so I kind of don't know exactly how to perceive that or how to handle that situation.
I mean, my understanding is that it's sort of based on time, place, and person. Like, we have a choice to not... Like, a business relationship is different than a friend relationship. Like, if you're friends with somebody and, like, they support that, you have the complete and absolute choice to just stop being friends with them, or just, like, not, like... But if you're in a business relationship, if you have to go to work with them, then you have to... Am I correct in this, Maitreya?
Absolutely, yeah. Go ahead. You're doing good.
Just if you're working with them, then you have to tolerate it to the extent that, like, you can work together, because that's not really your choice. It's all based on how much you can affect, like, how much choice you really have in the situation, and understand, like, where you the ideal is and what you would do if you could, but make the decision based on the individual situation. I know Sarah G works with people like that in the hospital, and if she went around telling them what she thought, she would get fired. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Right, exactly. It can be very uncomfortable, in a sense, very uncomfortable. And just wearing a long skirt says a lot, and so and having my hair up says a lot. So immediately when I walk in the room, there's a feeling of tension, because I think they have a good idea where I'm coming from. So, but it's a matter of being professional and also keeping your mind on something else. You know, you're there to do a job, and you do the job, and you're concentrating on God, and it really doesn't matter what those people do, but I don't support them.
Right. But if somebody like that, like, asks you to, you know, like, hey, let's go for coffee later, you know, then that's different. You know, then you have a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To just shut it down.
Absolutely. No, just stay professional.
Right. And if they ask me what I thought, you know, I could say something. Fortunately, they keep, you know, all of that, you know, into their private life, which is really good. But, I mean, it's also really obvious. And we did talk a little bit about God, and the one lady is an atheist. But it's hard, because sometimes there is a chance to talk a market. You know, you don't have to keep it on business all the time. But it sounds like, from the feedback you all gave me, that I'm doing the right thing in this situation. And that's really what I wanted to check out, you know, when I brought that up, because I've thought about it a lot, you know, going through that and having to work, you know, with people, and it's not the first time, you know, with people that are, you know, gay and everything. Okay, thank you, thank God.
Also remember that under American law, everyone is perfectly entitled to their own opinion, like, and like, I don't know, there's a sense in American society where, like, the gay agenda is allowed to push its agenda on you, but there's also a sense that you're not allowed to push a godly agenda on them.
Right.
That's something I was indoctrinated in throughout my high school career, that, like, the norm is not talking about God, and so if you start talking about God, that's, like, strange. If you really think about it, there's no reason why that should be. It's equally, like, quote-unquote fair if the normal agenda is God, and it's strange if you're not talking about God. So, like, if you start talking to somebody about the separation of church and state, and he says, well, I don't mind if you believe in God, just don't talk to me about it. Just say to them, well, how about I don't mind if you don't believe in God, just don't talk to me about it. You know? It's the same exact thing. So,
absolutely.
So if someone like that starts pushing it on you, then you have just as much right to start pushing your opinions on them. And don't get caught up in the idea that you're not being fair if you're like you're like being harsh on them, if they're being harsh on you. You have just as much right as they do.
Go ahead.
They have created an environment that you feel guilty if you do something which is the truth of God. And that is the problem, because they have put God out. And therefore, you are the guilty party if you go against what society have created and they call it norm. And that is the crux of the problem for the people who work out there, because they have been silenced and they cannot practice their right as a citizen of the United States, but gays and lesbians can. And as we said in those articles, when sin or something against God's law become the norm of the society, that is when that society creates karma. And that is the karma they also creating by going against God and supporting things that God sees says ungodly, and you, who is godly, want to say something is called abnormal. And that is a very, very a great indication that something has gone wrong. And what has gone wrong, God has been put out. And therefore, in this situation, you do professional work, and you do your work, and you don't have to support them. But if you bit corner with something that they are trying to push on you, you can fight back easily and say, that is my right, I don't believe in this. If you want to work here with me, that's fine, but I'm not going to support your ideas. Very, very simple. And you can, if they didn't like that, you know, they cannot fire you or anything, because that is your given right to say your opinion and ideas and belief and push back, as Izzy said. You know, don't listen to what the society is trying to tell you. Push back. If the opportunity is given, but you don't have to volunteer. You don't have to be their friends. You don't have to, you know, support them in any way. And actually make, if you could, you know, stay away from them as friends or somebody that you are okay with it. But work with them. It's okay. Does it make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. It does. Mm. And I think, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, there was a way, not supporting what she was doing, but sometimes she had something available very inexpensively. So in another way, I may have been supporting, you know, and that sounds like I should stay away from supporting that. I mean, she's a very nice person and always very cordial to me and stuff. It's just, you know, I mean, they don't make it a secret that they're partners, but they don't come out and put that on either. But then when we were talking about God, I told her, you know, this is my belief, and you're an atheist, okay. I said, we just have to agree to disagree when it comes to God, because, you know, I'm not going to deny God just because God.
I've heard a belief. I've heard Christians say something. They say, love the sinner, hate the sin. If that makes any sense. And I think that this issue specifically is especially important at this moment in time. And so we put extra emphasis on it, kind of. So even if someone is a nice person, if they're like that, like it's the principle of it that we have to be very strong about that.
Yeah, we have to create a society that is abnormal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That makes sense.
There's actually when I go to the farmers markets every week, there's a stand run by two gay men, and their food looks great, but I'm not buying it. You know, that's just how it is. So.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, Machiri, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that is another way. Talk with your money.
Mm-hmm.
Don't support anything that is not according to God's way.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect some of the reasons why some women go in that direction is because they don't have the close connection in the community, and that's really what they're longing. And you can imagine in a community where the women will be very, very close, but they're not gay. You know, they're very close. They're working together for a great ideal. They're sisters, and they love each other, but they're not gay.
I don't think it's just women. I think the same is true for men. Like, that's another thing that normal in American society is that for men to be very standoffish and stuff, and it's not true in other cultures. And I think that may be something that they've lost that they don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have never seen a lesbian until I came to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are very close to each other in those cultures.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And there are also many other stories of like, a woman is in a bad relationship with a man, and after that is when she, you know, so like if we create better relationships and stronger marriages, that'll also help. Mm. So,
unfortunately, there's such propaganda that the youngsters, the young girls and the young boys are so influenced by this agenda. It's a pretty confusing time in terms of sexuality when they're young, and that's all open to them, and that's just a shame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also in the schools, a lot of times they're being raised in a gay marriage, whether it be two men or two women.
Mm.
They just think this is just the way it is, you know. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Sin always begets sin, and problems always create more problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to figure out, like, what is the problem, you keep realizing that it's connected to more and more things. And so you go back to the very original problem, which is just that we're not living dharmically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about our society is dharmic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what Maitreya is saying, that this is the time this is happening. It shows the collapse of our nations.
Mm-hmm. On all levels.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say there are a lot of signs that, you know, shows the crack in the society. And when I came to this country, it was beautiful. It was, I was amazed how wonderful people were, how beautiful the relationship with each other, how open they were to me, you know, as a person from another country and all that. And in, 30, 40 years, it's amazing how much it changed.
Huh. What happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else about this topic? It is 8:35, so... But it's a good discussion, so if people have more things to say, then, yeah.
I did want to apologize for being late. I'm so sorry. I fell sound asleep earlier. And sorry. Apologize. I had wanted to be at the meditation class and the meeting on time, and you know how it goes.
That's good. Cute. Not very many people get good sleep these days. So hearing somebody have good sleep, that's good.
Yeah, but there are lots of other times to get good sleep. This is not.
That's true.
Oh, that's cute. So the welcome of the feast, is that going to be in this room, or is it going to be in Paltok?
The welcome will be in Paltok. Anything that we don't need to show something on the screen will be in Paltok, which is everything except for the lectures, basically.
So they're going to show the videos that Eunice is making here in this room?
No, that's another exception. Good point. Maybe. We haven't decided for sure, I guess, on that one. But like, as we have it for right now, the lectures are in GoToMeeting, and that's mostly it. Everything else is in Paltok.
Okay. And lectures, you mean Eunice and your lecture?
And also the recordings of the lecture by Maitreya on the first seal. Those will be in GoToMeeting because we're going to be broadcasting his PowerPoint slides as he talks.
Oh, great. Great.
Will that be the same address that you give? Okay, because Bobby had sent me an email about coming into the mission, you know, during the feast, and she wanted to know how to get into the rooms and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her to go to the All Religions room if she can only come to one room. But I'll send her that URL for GoToMeeting, too, so she can come in there for the lectures. That would be great.
Thanks. Sure. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, that'd be great.
Probably at the same time we have room, somebody can stay in the Paltok and direct people to come to this room if they've been
sure.
there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And, I can't see why we would need anything else here. So... One more thing that we could ask, actually, real quick, is for any if anyone has any suggestions or ideas or know of a good movie about the first seal.
Especially something about Shiva or Krishna or...
Buddha.
Yeah,
Buddha.
And we're not looking for something like where it's got some good stuff, but like a lot of it is New Ager or like dogmatic. Like if any of you know of like a really good movie that's mostly true, like the message for Islam, like that's pretty good, you know. If there's something like that for the first seal, we're really having a hard time trying to find one.
How long? An hour?
Go ahead.
How long does it mean? And does the movie have to be an hour movie or something? 2 hour movie?
Probably pretty flexible. Probably like not 15 minutes, but whatever, yeah.
An hour is good, yeah. Actually, we put together a clip from the different saying in Kung Fu, that movie and the TV
series.
The problem is it's not very high resolution, but it's nice. The people look at it, they say it looks good. So that's one option we are considering it. We have other options. What the other options were?
Oh.
Kung Fu.
A Little Dragons.
What's that?
A Little Dragons.
A Little Dragon.
What is that?
That's like a Kung Fu kind of movie.
A Little Dragon.
A Little Dragon.
Okay, we'll look into that. All right.
And there's Bali. There's a movie.
Bali, right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But none of them really is mission material. Some of them have some parts we do not agree with them at all. So,
right.
So kind of we're looking very clean, not commercialized, you know, movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to do research.
That's why it's hard to find something like that.
Yeah. I mean, we have some options, so it's not like it's desperate, but we might as well ask if anyone knew of something, because we have not been too successful. So that's probably it. That was the last thing I had to say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good.
So, any other comments or?
Last chance.
Thanks, God, for the good meeting.
See you next week. Yeah, right. See you next week at the feast.
All right.
Salam.
Salam, everyone.
Salam. Salam.
And you thanks God. Salam.
Salam.
Salam.